Welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brandis. I'm joined by Eric Mackey. How are you doing today, Eric?
Great, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing good. Eric, today we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming trade deadline, some players that could get moved at the deadline, and what it means for their fantasy value, and where we think that they could possibly go, and what are some moves that could happen in the NBA. Should be a good discussion because there's a lot of players that have been talked about, and obviously trade deadline is probably one of the most favorite times of year and for basketball fans outside of the playoffs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the trade deadline is always interesting just to see what teams actually will make a push, see who kind of comes about and gets traded that maybe you weren't anticipating. So it definitely adds a nice dynamic to the season just before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to have it change this year because it's always after the All-Star break. It's usually like a month or so later. This year they moved it up. I'm not exactly sure why they moved it up. I'm not sure if you know either. But the fact that they moved it up obviously will make it easier for a new player to mesh with a team. So there's a benefit with that. And as a result, it kind of moves our fantasy trade deadline up in certain leagues if you didn't bother changing anything. So why don't we talk a little bit about the fantasy trade deadline? Just as a reminder to all fantasy fans or fantasy listeners that you want to have your trades accepted by the trade deadline. You can't have it proposed because once that deadline hits, it will erase those trade offers. So just be aware of that. Have you ever had that happen, Eric, where someone is trying to do a deal with you and you guys like agree, but you guys don't get it accepted on the site or anything like that?
Not with NBA. I haven't before the deadline. I have in a couple other leagues, mostly like with football, but you know, usually if it's something that you, I mean, it kind of depends what's in the bylaws and stuff of your league, but you know, the league that I was playing in, if as long as you could show that you had agreed to the trade prior, they'd go ahead and do it. But I haven't had one that, you know, agreed on but hadn't got proposed that basically couldn't be done because of the deadline passing. But it kind of depends on, you know, if it's a standard league, you know, you don't really have a whole lot of choice there. If it's more of a custom league where you've got a constitution and stuff, then that may, you know, it may be a little bit different.
Yeah, I had a league in the last few years that I was trying to trade with someone, and he took a while. I think he agreed to the trade like an hour after the deadline happened, and he's like, "I'll send it to you." And like, I wasn't on my phone, so I come back, and I'm like, and he's like, "Why can't I send a trade?" I was like, "You missed the deadline." I was like, "I kept telling you this, so I said, you got 5 minutes, and you just ignored me." It's like, ah. So either he was trying to not do a deal, which he could have just said no, and it would have made it easier probably, or he just was really not paying attention. So obviously you don't want to run into that type of situation in the league that you're in. So
definitely.
Why don't we talk about some of the players? The first one that came to mind is Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker is a player that has a lot of fantasy relevance. You know, he scores roughly 22 points a game, about 6 assists. He gets more than a steal, gets 2.5 threes. He shoots well from the line. His field goal percentage leaves a little bit to be desired. But overall, Kemba Walker is a good fantasy player. What are your thoughts on Kemba?
Well, I think with Kemba, it'd be a little hard to trade him overall just because he's kind of been the face of that franchise since he got drafted. He's pretty well entrenched overall. You know, both kind of his deal of the ones that they've got on the books right now isn't too bad, so he's probably the only player they could easily move. But I think, you know, Kemba's come out and said it himself that he actually wants to stay with the team, but I think with Charlotte it's a little difficult because he's probably the easiest player they have to move overall.
Yeah, he's one of the only players in the league that basically outperforms his contract. He's making less than $15 million a year. He's at a very reasonable salary for a player of his skill set. They're going to try to offload him with someone like a Dwight Howard or Nick Batum, Marvin Williams, or Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, because those players all have horrendous contracts for at least three more years, and they just don't bring a ton of real-life or fantasy value. Obviously, like a Dwight Howard gets points, blocks, has decent field goal, and gets his boards. But, you know, he still can't shoot from the line, doesn't get a ton of steals, doesn't get any threes. Batum's shooting sub 40% this year. He's not performing to his normal overall ability. Marvin Williams has had a somewhat decent year, but it's down overall. He's just not taking as many shots. And then Kidd-Gilchrist, he's just a terrible player. So,
yeah, and I think with Kemba, it's going to be one that if he does get traded, they'll probably try to force a team to take one of those other players.
Yeah, I don't even know if you have to force a team to take him, because I just don't see them accepting a deal where one of those players is not taken with him, which may cause a deal to not get done as a result. But if a deal doesn't get done, do you think that they are able to move him during the offseason, or do you think that that means he'll just be here to stay?
I think if he doesn't get moved before the deadline, I honestly would see him staying with Charlotte throughout the rest of his contract, honestly. You know, he's their most valuable asset on the team overall. And, I mean, unless they get a ridiculous deal for him coming back, I don't see him getting moved off that franchise right now.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get him moved, because I really don't know who's willing to take on a bad contract. There's not a lot of teams in this league that are willing to take on the bad contract. And for some of the ones that are, I'm not sure if you have enough pieces to send back. Now, obviously, we've seen deals like what the Nets did for Timofey Mozgov, that they were able to get D'Angelo Russell. But at the same point in time, the Lakers didn't really want Russell. They wanted Ball. They thought that Russell wasn't going to be a good player for them because of the locker room issues and everything. So at the same point in time, they wanted to get rid of him. So it's not like every team is willing to just give up a good player. In this instance, this team doesn't want to move Kemba, but they understand that there's nothing else they could do to possibly get these horrendous contracts off the roster unless they make their best player available. Where do you think he could potentially go if he ended up somewhere?
I don't know. I haven't really seen him linked to any teams, honestly, and I don't know. You know, most of the ones that probably have the greater capability to do so with picks, they've already got an established point guard in there. I mean, Boston's got Kyrie, so, you know, they've got a bunch of picks they could move. I think for him, in my mind, it's kind of going to be difficult to find a good fit, just being the fact that he is a point. But what are your thoughts?
I mean, a team that could do it is someone like the Knicks, because they have a young point guard in Frank Ntilikina who they could theoretically move, and maybe a first-round pick, but they've already said they don't really want to move a pick, so it's going to be tough to say what they could or could not do. Outside of that, I'm not really sure who, because I don't know all of the team's cap situations, I'm not really sure who could do something like that. Theoretically, you could send them over to someone like the Lakers and get back the Brook Lopez deal, because he's going to expiring. But at the same point in time, why would the Lakers do that? Because they need the cap space for this upcoming year. So it's some teams that have cap space aren't going to want to, because they're going to want to make a run at players like a Paul George or a LeBron or an Isaiah Thomas. So at that point, it doesn't really make sense. The team that was taking a lot of bad contracts was the Nets, so that they could get value in drafts, even if it was outside the lottery, or they could get players that were young like Alan Crabb. But the Nets don't really have the cap space to be able to do that. So it's tough to say if there's really a team. There's always a team that makes some type of move at the deadline that you're not really expecting, and I feel that Kemba could be on the move, but I think that it is likely that he doesn't get moved, like you said. Why don't we talk about a player in Anthony Davis who has been talked about very briefly, but it is important. Do you think there's any chance at all that Anthony Davis gets moved? Because there's talk that he could go to Boston for Al Horford and Jason Tatum. There's talks that he could possibly go to Cleveland. I don't know who Cleveland would send back, because I don't see why they would send why New Orleans would want Kevin Love. I'm not really sure. I mean, it doesn't make sense that you would send Isaiah Thomas, even on an expiring deal. So, what are your thoughts on Anthony Davis potentially moving?
And I think it's kind of the similar situation as what we were talking about with Kemba. I mean, for the package that it would take coming back, I don't know that it would necessarily get done. Boston's been pretty much the primary team that he's been linked to, but you also have to figure as far as what New Orleans wants to do going forward, because Boogie's on the last year of his deal too. Do they try to keep him and Anthony Davis, or do they basically just let Boogie's deal run out and just retain Anthony Davis? I think kind of what the franchise has indicated is they're willing, they don't want to move him, but if the right deal came along, they would. I guess it kind of depends on who you're actually getting the feedback from, but in my mind, I think it's going to be difficult to move him, probably more so than Kemba overall, just because of the return package on it, I think would be pretty substantial. And I don't think there's a lot of teams that have the capital needed to get in return.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a lot of teams that have that capital, just like you were saying. But if I was going to bet on a team that was able to do it, it would probably be the Boston Celtics, because they do have the ability to move Horford and Tatum. Tatum being so young and on his rookie deal, I could see something like that working. Yeah, you still have to deal with Horford, but at least you have a piece there that if for some reason DeMarcus Cousins leaves, you still have a team that has Jrue Holiday, would have Al Horford, would have Jason Tatum. You could still make that team work, and it's not such an old team. And Al Horford, the way he plays, he doesn't need the ball. He passes, he gets his points where he can, but scoring is not the primary thing. So it would allow Boogie to kind of be able to still do everything that he does. Jason Tatum would be able to continue to score. Jrue Holiday would probably pick up some of the scoring load. I think that it could be a decent trade for them, but I'm not really sure if they go and move an Anthony Davis for that.
Yeah, I agree.
If Anthony Davis does move to the Celtics for whatever reason, what does that do for his fantasy value?
I actually think if he goes to the Celtics, like let's say that he's there and Horford and Tatum head out, I actually think overall it might hurt his value, just because you don't have, the Celtics have gone back to being more of that slower tempo ball control team, especially with Kyrie running point. I think it actually hurts his value, because a lot of what he's able to do, especially from like a rebounding and scoring standpoint, is just because of the fact that, New Orleans runs at such a fast pace. They want to get up and down the court really quickly. So I think it actually would probably hurt his value overall versus where he's at now.
Yeah, I think if they were to move Tatum and Horford, I think for this year his fantasy value would still be pretty elite. But when Hayward comes back next year, playing with Kyrie, and still having Jaylen Brown, I'm not really sure what would happen as a result. I think while I don't want to believe that someone like Anthony Davis is going to lose fantasy value, it's a little tough. At least this year, You saw that they were able to play. He and Cousins were able to play well last year. You weren't sure if he was going to have value, but you knew he wasn't like a top five pick, but you could see him being a top 12 pick. I'm not sure if you even see him being a top, I don't know, 15 pick if he's on Boston with Hayward and with Kyrie next year. It almost seems like he could be like a like an 18th overall type player in drafts, and I'm not sure if he's able to give you, you know, a top 10 return. Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, I think if he would get moved, you're probably looking at kind of top 20 player. He's definitely not going to be as dynamic of an option as he would be on the Pelicans.
I mean, if you're looking at his stat line, the thing that would take the biggest hit would be his points. He'd probably drop from like 27 points a game to maybe 24 points, 23 points. I still think he'd have blocks. He'd have his steals. He'd probably still get 2 assists a game. His rebounds could actually tick up from 10.5. Maybe they go to, I don't know, 11, 12. He could actually maybe shoot the 3 about the same percentage that he does now. So you don't really see it drop significantly. But the fact that it's not always going to be consistently him being able to put it up because of the 3 superstars that are there, that's where his value takes the hit. You know, it's like, yes, you know that with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry there, Klay Thompson's not always going to score his points, and as a result, it drops his value down. Yeah, he'll get his threes and he'll have good percentages, and everything will be pretty consistent. But on a game-in, game-out basis, it's not going to be there every single game. And that's why you're not looking to necessarily buy him as a top 12 option, because you can't guarantee that it's going to be there. He would still probably be the best quote-unquote fantasy player that would be in Boston. But at that same point in time, can you really expect that consistency on a game-in, game-out basis every single time? Probably not.
Yeah, I don't think you can. Especially, I mean, you look at the hit Kyrie's taken going over there this year. I mean, he's still, you know, a really good player, but he's definitely not putting up the numbers he did in Cleveland. And I think you've got enough, you've got more mouths to feed, basically. And with less possessions, I don't see him kind of making the same kind of numbers that he's putting up this year if he does go to Boston.
Yeah. I don't know if he really goes anywhere else, and there hasn't been a ton of trade talk about this, so I don't think that there's going to gain a lot of traction, but it's always worth talking about. Why don't we move on to the next part, and that's going to be talking about DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan could end up being moved. Obviously, he's having a typical DeAndre Jordan year, great field goal percentage. His attempts at the line and his percentages at the line are actually decent compared to where they've been in the past. I mean, last year he was at 5.2 attempts per game at 48%. This year he's only at 3.4 at 60%. So you're seeing less volume and a better percentage as a result, so he's not hurting your teams as bad. He still gets a ton of rebounds. He'll still score his points, you know, 10 to 12 a game. His blocks are down. His blocks are down to 1. So what are your thoughts on DeAndre Jordan possibly moving, and what does this do for his fantasy value?
I think kind of what you're seeing with DeAndre is, you know, he's kind of been what he's been the last 3 or 4 years. I actually expected him to take a little bit more of a hit this year just with Chris Paul not being there, because that was kind of the, you know, kind of his bread and butter was being able to just to kind of get those alley-oops from Chris Paul. But I think kind of what you see is going to be kind of the consistency with DeAndre Jordan. And I don't really see it changing all that much. You know, if he's been linked right now to the Cleveland Cavaliers, potentially trading for him. And it looks like right now the thought is that J.R. Smith and Tristan Thompson, who's, you know, kind of like what you said, he's kind of DeAndre Jordan light, would go back to the Clippers. You know, you're still going to have kind of the same role that he had. I don't see an uptick in his value from moving off the Clippers, but I also don't see any kind of downturn. He's a pretty consistent player, and you kind of know what you're going to get, and I don't think it changes even if his environment changes.
Yeah, I don't think that there's going to be a ton of fancy quote-unquote landscape change for DeAndre Jordan if he goes anywhere. I still think he'll get his points and his boards. He'll still keep his percentages. He's not an overly exciting player, but he's consistent for what you need. So if you like need someone who gets you a good field goal and rebounds and the blocks, he's someone to grab, especially because he's not as detrimental from the line this year as he has been in the past. Why don't we talk about the other LA team, and do we think that there's any chance that Brook Lopez or Julius Randle get traded this year? Obviously, Brook Lopez has taken an absolute hit from where people thought he was going to be going to a fantasy-friendly, a potential fantasy-friendly lineup in the Lakers. But over the last 2 years, that rate hasn't proven to be the case with Luke Walton over here. Do you think that this is a fantasy-relevant team under this coach, and can there be anything to resurrect Brook Lopez's value?
I think the biggest hit right now with Lopez is the fact he's not getting any minutes. Walton's kind of a frustrating coach from the standpoint that, you know, you've got players on the team that should be getting way more significant run, and he's just rotating them in and out. You know, their front court right now between Nance and Kuzma, Lopez, Randle, they're stacked on their front court, but they're still not giving them a majority of minutes. I think, you know, Kuzma was on fire at the beginning of the season. He's kind of slowed down overall. But I think until Walton either figures out that you really should just play your best players and not limit their minutes so substantially, I don't know that there's really going to be any relevance. And, you know, for as far as Brook Lopez goes, if they're truly trying to flip him in a deal right now, they're definitely not helping themselves. I think he's hit like 5 or 10 games straight that he hasn't gotten over 20 minutes, which is, you know, kind of silly when realistically with that team, he should be out there, you know, I don't, as at least getting 20 to 25 minutes a game, if not starting, just to give him that floor space.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Luke Walton coaching this team in the fantasy realm aspect of things. I think because of Brook Lopez is having an expiring deal, he could get moved, because the Lakers really aren't competing for anything this year. And I understand that there is the draft pick situation that they have. And so you don't necessarily want to be too bad because you don't want to give the pick up. But at the same point in time, you want to be able to get something for Brook Lopez, because the likelihood that he comes back this offseason is what? I don't know, 10%, do you think? I don't see a reason why he'd come back to this team when he's barely getting any playing time. It doesn't really make any sense. Because what would change from this year to next year?
Yeah, I doubt. I mean, if he doesn't get moved and he hits the end of his deal, I don't see him coming back to LA at all. It's basically going to be a situation that he'll probably just test the free agent market. But after this last year, if he continues to get like 16 minutes, he's not going to command very much. So, but I don't see him sticking around in LA.
Yeah, I don't see him sticking around, so I don't see why they wouldn't look to move him. Not sure where you move him to, because he does have a lot of money, but it's an expiring contract, you know. The $15-plus million that he's making will come off the books in 4 months. So a title-contending team may be willing to part with, I don't know, a first-round pick or something for him. You may be able to get a player. I'm not sure if a player is really going to be useful for this team, considering how many players that they really already have. Obviously, I don't see Vika Zubac getting any run if he comes into the rotation, because Brook Lopez is barely getting any, so why would Zubac really get any? So I think that Zubac's fantasy value and Lopez's fantasy value are pretty much dog-do at this time. Julius Randle is building up his value, but they already want to move him, so we'll see what happens there. I don't know if there's really any quote-unquote fancy goodness that can come from either Randle or Brook Lopez being on another team, but I know that there's going to be pretty limited fancy value coming from them playing on the Lakers. Why don't we talk about the next player, and that's going to be talking about Damari Carroll. Damari Carroll is a player that was sent to Brooklyn basically to shed his contract. The Raptors gave up a lottery protected first-round pick just so that the Nets would take on the contract, which they did. And Carroll's actually played pretty well this year. And he's done most of this with D'Angelo Russell out, so he's actually been one of the primary people that has had to be a point scorer, be a ball handler. Over the last 15 days, he's shooting 47%, 82% from the line, two plus threes, almost 8 boards a game, 2 assists, a steal and a half, and 16 points. Do you think that Damari Carroll will be able to maintain fantasy value on another team, or do you think it's because of the Nets and how this team is constructed that he is maintaining this value?
I think with Carroll, I think there is a good potential that it is the fact that he is playing on the Nets, why he's kind of had a little bit of the resurgence where, you know, he's kind of that savvy veteran and pretty much everybody else is, you know, fairly young overall in the rotation. He's definitely had a good kind of resurgence this year from what he had shown in Toronto. He kind of fell off the map overall, but part of that was contingent with the emergence of DeMar DeRozan. So I think overall with Carroll, I think he does take a little bit of a hit with Russell coming back just because he probably won't get as many minutes. But I think if he does get moved to another team, you're probably looking at him going away from being a little bit more of a primary focus to probably third or fourth option on a team if they do decide to make a trade for him if he's going to a contender. So I think if he does get traded, it probably does hurt his value.
Yeah, I could see it hurting his value, and he's not really relevant in anything outside of maybe 12 to 14 team leagues, depending on the size of those leagues. But I would say 14 teams and deeper, 13 teams, if it's a roto, that's typically where you see his fantasy value. He's owned in less than 50% of leagues, so fantasy owners can still go and get him. But right now he's on a hot streak. Russell coming back could help. It could hurt, but at least it gives him someone who can get him the ball in an open space, someone who can command the offense a little better than Spencer Dinwiddie. So I think there could be fantasy value, but I think that if there is actually a buzz around him possibly moving, that there's a good chance he actually gets moved, which, I mean, would be great for the Nets if they're able to capitalize on a player like that you took on for contract purposes and then, you know, get an extra pick or something out of it. Especially because players who can shoot the three, play defense, and play the wing, those players are all always wanted around the playoffs anyway. So you saw it last year with Bojan Bogdanovic. You see it every single year with some player. You know, look at PJ Tucker. Look at players like that get moved, and you know it happens every year. So why don't we talk about the last player for the trade deadline that we've heard some rumors about, and that's Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier started pretty good this year. He's kind of slumped a little bit since coming back from his injury, but he's still scoring about 18 points a game, has a steal, 3 assists, 3 boards, a little over 2 3-pointers a game, shoots well from the line at 89%, 46% from the field. What are your thoughts on Fournier this year, and do you think he'll get moved?
Well, I think, you know, for the Magic, there's not really, you know, a good reason, I guess, to keep him if they keep losing. I mean, he's still fairly young. The deal that he's on is, I don't know, kind of pricey for what he's producing. But I think that's probably going to be the biggest roadblock in them being able to move him. But I think you'll probably see them try to shop him around just because kind of where they're going from a development standpoint, but I honestly don't know what they're going to get kind of back from him. I think wherever he ends up going, it's probably not going to be as good of a situation as what he's got currently on the Magic, to where he'd probably go back to being more of a ancillary role player. You'd have probably third or fourth option at best again, and so I think if he does get moved, it's probably going to actually hurt his value as a fantasy option if he does end up going to a contender.
Yeah, I think that him getting moved would probably hurt his fantasy value more than anything, because right now with Vucevic out, he's the second best scorer on this team. We still got another month or so to wait for Vucevic to come back. And obviously, with Aaron Gordon now being healthy, it may help Fournier not have so many people on the offense, so many people on the defense trying to converge on him. And you know, he's had some bad shooting games. He's had to play some decent opponents to have some players that can guard him pretty well. But having no other players to really score had hurt. So it's nice to have Gordon back. You know, maybe Vucevic being back will also help his case if he does stay. But I do think that if he gets moved, it will be for a contender that won't use him as much, and I think that could really hurt your fantasy team if he gets moved to a situation like that. So we'll have to see what happens. All right, Eric, the last thing that we're going to talk about today is the changes that the Sacramento Kings have made in their rotation. Now, a lot of fantasy owners don't necessarily want players that are on the Sacramento Kings. I mean, their most owned player on ESPN is Zach Randolph at 61.9%, followed by Willie Cauley-Stein, 59.7%, and then everyone else is under 40%. But there can be some fantasy-relevant players in this team, especially in a dynasty or keeper format. You know, player like De'Aaron Fox, possibly Buddy Hield or Scott LaBissiere, Willie Cauley-Stein. What are your thoughts on the fact that they're kind of resting the older guys more and giving the younger guys more of a run as the year goes on?
Well, I think, you know, coming into the season, you really didn't want, you know, from a standard redraft standpoint, there really weren't a lot of options off the Kings just because of how they'd kind of manage their rotations. They're kind of capping people around 20 to 25 minutes a game. So even though you've got a pretty decent core of young talent on a team, they weren't really being utilized. And so, you know, like you said, if Zach Randolph's your most owned player, that kind of tells you something as far as the state of your team, just from a fantasy perspective, as far as the relevance of kind of the rest of the players and what you have to consider. With them coming out last week and basically saying that they're going to start actually resting the older players that are on the team, which, you know, is basically going to impact George Hill and Zach Randolph the most right now. And of course, you still have Vince Carter for what that's worth. But, you know, it's nice that they're actually moving to giving the young players some runs. So now you actually do have some relevance in players like De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovich and Skull and Willie Cauley-Stein, to where they may actually have a little bit more relevance now as options potentially off the wire. You know, Willie Cauley's probably owned, you know, but like Bogdan Bogdanovich, he's actually done really well development-wise this season, and he's kind of, you know, other than Willie Cauley-Stein, he's kind of been picking his game up to where he's almost getting to be the point that he's kind of their primary scoring option out there on the court right now. But I think it's nice just from the standpoint that you've got a little bit more solidarity in what's going to happen with the team and the rotations and kind of what you can expect for the development of the players, especially with such a young core going forward.
Yeah, Bogdanovich has really picked it up. Over the last 15 days, he's shooting 54% on 11 attempts, 91% from the line on 3 attempts. He's got over 2 threes a game, 4 boards, 3.5 assists, a steal, and 17 points. He's done a pretty good job over the last 15 days. Even De'Aaron Fox and Cauley Stein have done well for themselves also. You know, Cauley Stein's not always going to be great from the line. You know, he could be about 60% from the line, but he's going to get you boards. He'll get you steals. He'll get you blocks. He'll still score, and he'll have a good field goal percentage. So, you know, this could be a player that, you know, you could have some fancy relevance as the year goes on. Obviously, they're not going to be able to, like, just go and trade George Hill or Zach Randolph concerning the contracts that they're on. But they signed him more for the floor and so for veteran leadership more than anything. But, you know, Randolph isn't going to always affect Cauley Stein, and George Hill is not always going to affect Bogdanovich and stuff. But you really want De'Aaron Fox to be in this lineup playing consistently. If Zach Randolph's able to hover around those 22 minutes a game and let Cauley Stein play his 30 and keep getting developed by Randolph, then that's the important thing. That's what you want. You want these guys to have some veteran leadership so that the young players that are getting consistent minutes as the year goes on are able to continue developing. All right, Eric, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
So I could be reached on Twitter at Mackey671FWFB and still working on some football and basketball pieces.
And I can be reached at BBrandisFWFB. You can find me on the team previews for the baseball offseason. I'm doing a bunch of those. You'll be able to find some written articles by me also in our fantasy baseball draft guide, which will be coming out sometime within the next month. I did some draft articles and some position previews. I also can be found on a consistent weekly basis for the baseball podcast, joined by Ray Kuhn and by Evan Peterson. You can find Eric and myself throughout the rest of the basketball offseason a couple times a week, hopefully, with the basketball podcast. And from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great basketball season, everyone.